Welcome to the More Business, More Life podcast. This show is for socially conscious leaders, entrepreneurs, CEO founders that have found success, but they don't have the ideal life that they would like. And what we're going to do is bring in concepts and systems so that we can increase business with millions of additional revenue while lowering our work hours, ideally below 40 hours a week. We call this More Business, More Life. And it's an and, not an or. We don't have to have either or. We can actually systemize this to have both. And those are the concepts we're going to come with each episode. Sometimes we might talk a little bit more about business, sometimes more life, most of the time, both. So welcome to the show. Welcome to the More Business, More Life podcast. Today, we're going to talk about how do we sustain our businesses, our organizations, whether you're a nonprofit or for-profit, and then how do you sponsor people when you want to serve and your heart is meant to serve and you know some people can't afford it. When do you charge? When do you give it away? How do you give it away? If you give it away, are people going to use it because they're going to devalue it because it's free? All these things we're going to cover and more so that you can actually do something good in the world and sustain your business and your organization. Let's jump into this podcast. We want to talk about, you know, this comes up with clients that are for purpose, right? Like that we want our purpose to be above profits or people and the planet to be above profits. And how do we do that? Then the question is, when do we give and when do we charge, right? Like how, if you're in business, how do you make money and then do the good work that you're doing? You know, Patagonia doesn't give away jackets for free. They actually charge and it's even more. Like you might actually pay more because you're getting organic cotton. You're getting stuff that they have spent more money on to get the dyes and things so they're not polluting the planet. So it actually costs more. But yeah, we're doing a lot of good and then they can totally succeed. So just by example, we don't have to forfeit what we're charging because now here's why, because then it's not sustainable. So if you want your nonprofit to survive, if you want your business to survive, then there needs to be some sort of income coming in. And then I heard someone say to me many years ago, they said, no margin, no mission, right? So if a margin is another way to say profit, right? A margin is the difference between what your cost is and what you make. And if there's no difference, right? If there's no margin, there's no profit, you could call it, then you're not going to sustain. So when people are in a position to pay, then I'm just going to bring out some general thoughts. One, I've been trained by many mentors. When people pay, they pay attention, right? So if you buy a really nice car, as an example, chances are you're going to keep it clean. You're going to wash it. You're going to wax it. If you buy like something that's beat up, doesn't mean that you're not wealthy. I've had some of my biggest investors in some of my previous companies when I was in San Francisco, and they're driving like a beat up Honda Del Sol or something from like 1990s or something crazy. And they're pulling up. And then I was with people that were on my team or whatever, and they're judging already. And then luckily I had known, hey, that's not a good idea. And this guy that I'm talking about ended up being like very wealthy, and he did have a Mercedes in the garage, but he only took that out when he wanted to. And when he's driving around San Francisco and you're parking, you want a car you don't give a crap about. That was his beater that he drove around San Francisco whenever he was going out to dinner and stuff. And this was in an entertainment business. But then when we went to LA, then he got the Mercedes out, and we're like pulling up to the valet with his Mercedes. So, and not that he even needed that, but he did like that car. So it's not about these things. We're not laying over judgment when we say these things, but chances are people that pay will pay attention. Now, I want to bring one more thought and then I want to open it up to the team because everyone's here with me today, Stephanie Vetter, Giovanni Godina, and Melissa Barrett. And we all have been working on this because we've been sponsoring people. I even did sponsorships before COVID and then during the experience we had in 2020 and 2021 and even continuing now, we've been sponsoring some businesses and we're still doing it. We did it last year and we're doing it this year in 2024 as of the recording of this. And it's delicate. Like, how do you get people to show up when they're not paying? And there are people we have to cancel You're not doing the work, and we can only sponsor so many companies, organizations, or people. And so if you don't do it, then you're holding space for someone else. So what I found, and what I want to open into discussion, is that if you don't pay, then you have to kind of make hurdles. It's not like we're trying to purposely make it difficult for people, but there has to be a level of difficulty to prove that you want it. Like, so in a way, you could say, how are we testing people to make sure that they really, really want it? And, you know, like, so I've had examples, we have not been doing this, but I've had some people I know that they make people shoot a video, make a video that shows why we should pick you, right? Kind of like people do that when you're applying. We have an application. People have to go through an application and several interviews to be chosen. And we might add more things, but then we also have been updating our onboarding sequence and making sure that there's checks and balances to make sure that someone really wants it. Because again, we only have so much space for people at that level. And that means that if you're not doing it, we should make space for someone else. So I guess it's a big question. And we're not saying there's some perfect way, but I guess in summary of what I just said, you either get someone to pay. And the more they pay, the more they tend to do. Like when I first started coaching and I had a lower price, people didn't do the work and it was disheartening. And because I already had another business and I was doing the consulting on the side, I fired clients quite quickly because I'm like, why am I wasting my time? This is not my main income. And then I quickly raised my price into the thousands of dollars within the first year of me coaching. And that changed everything. Then people showed up with their notepads. They were doing the work. And I was like, wow. And one of my coaches, one of my mentors said, if there's not a comma in it, Steve, then people won't pay attention. And I was like, really? I mean, I thought like if you charge $500, that's like a car payment for a lot of people. You think they would be showing up, right? I mean, people have to think about that. You have to think about your rent and your mortgage and your car payments. Those are usually some of your biggest payments. And then I guess when it comes to coaching and such, I've found more results when it's at the mortgage level. If you're paying what another mortgage would be, you're gonna darn well show up. And you think you would with a car payment. Anyway, but I guess I'm curious what you think. So it's about either paying or you have to jump through hoops that have to be fabricated to prove that you want this. I'm open. Stephanie, Melissa, Giovanni, jump in here with me. Like what have you noticed? And then what things do you think have helped or not helped, just to kind of explore this?
For me, a couple of things came to mind right off the bat was when things are too easy for people, they don't take it serious. And one of the stories I heard, I don't know if I from you or from somebody else, but like talking about the real estate industry, like the ease of getting into real estate, but then you look at like how many transactions, I think you have heard this from you, the average transaction is like one transaction throughout all of like realtors out there, certified and licensed realtors, is one transaction out by average. Cause like it's so like easy to get into the industry that everybody just jumps in, and then when they find out it actually takes some work and just whatnot, then they just kind of just like fall off with it. I think for whatever reason, psychologically, we humans, when it's something we don't work for, we tend not to put a value, like a higher value on it. And that's not for everybody. There's people who are like, who want to grind. And we have a couple of clients right now who like, they have the money for it and the program and everything, but they also have the drive for something greater than what they were doing in their past life, if you will. And so they're putting the work in and they're working for it. They want it and they're going after it. Like myself included, like when I first started hanging around you, I didn't have money to do the workshops. Like, hey, Steve, how can I work with you? And I remember when you told your story of like you jumped up on the stage with your mentor and like you were not on a stage when I first saw you, but I came up to you like, hey, everything you just said, arrows to my heart. How can I work with you? Thankfully, you're like, you didn't say maybe. You're like, yeah, we can talk.
Yeah.
And so, and I worked my way through, and then eventually I was able to pay for some of the events and then one-on-one coaching and stuff like that. And, but I want, like at the beginning, I didn't have it, but I wanted it. And so like, for me, you like sponsored me, you literally sponsored me for stuff like, because I wanted it and I took advantage of that. Cause not a lot of people do that. right? If like, hey, you can't pay me, then. So I think it comes down to the person, but I think a lot of people, and I'll stop rambling here, for whatever reason, psychologically, if it's given to us or we don't pay a high price, whatever that that threshold is for that person, then they don't take it either serious or it's not of importance, quote unquote, for them. If that makes any sense.
And I don't think you're rambling. It's, I think, all good points. And here we are, I want to say 9 years later.
And you still can't get rid of me.
No, and I don't want to. You're part of my family now, brother. And yeah, you did it. You kept showing up and you achieved more and you could afford. So it wasn't all sponsored. You did pay too, but you started there and then you graduated and you were able to invest more. And then you loved it so much. You're like, I want to be on your team. And here we are. So yeah, you wanted it and you proved it to me. And that's the thing. So I always say, if you walk, I'll walk. If you run, I'll run. If you stop, I can't do anything. So I can't help you if you're not doing the work. And that's why I also say, I'm not the pilot. You're the pilot. I'm the guy on the tarmac with the lights helping you not bang your plane into the buildings and stuff. But I'm not your pilot. And if that's what people are waiting for, like you to take over their plane, then they're in the wrong place. So, and you don't want that, right? I mean, that's like the whole thing of giving someone a fish. You feed them for that day. We're in the business of helping people learn to fish so they can feed themselves. And then, well, how are we empowering the world? So I think all beautiful points, Giovanni. What do you think, Stephanie and Melissa?
I agree with Giovanni most of the time. And today is no different. I think it's true. I think a lot of people look at things that are given to them for free or that it's easy, that it's not valuable either. And so I think a lot of times our beliefs, we talk about kind of beliefs. There are a lot of times when you believe that something is free, therefore it's not valuable. When really, somebody is giving you a gift.
Yeah.
And we don't recognize the gift and the present that we're really being provided, the opportunity. And so I love when we talk about the fact that you want change in your life and you're willing to take action. If you are willing to take action, whether really no matter what the price, you should be engaging. But I think a lot of times people go, oh, well, if it's only $500, if it's only such and such, it must not be worth that much. When literally you are giving, I mean, there are so many people in the world that are giving things away because they want to help and they want to make sure people have the opportunity to engage and participate. And we go, oh, well, it can't be that good because it's only such and such a price. And so I think a lot of times we battle with our own mindset because we don't know what we're missing. And we just kind of disengage based on some initial view of what we, our initial impression. And then we just kind of keep moving.
So let's pause real quick and take a break and we'll be right back. I just want to have an expression of gratitude right now for Pro Audio Voices. They're the ones that produce my podcast. And Becky and her team are amazing. And for those of you that know me, I'm all about wow clients, wow partners. And Pro Audio Voices is a wow partner for me. And if you want to learn more, you can go to proaudiovoices.com and you can learn about them. They also do audiobooks and they're just amazing people. Thank you, Becky. On that point, I once had an acupuncture appointment and then I went to wrap up and it was the acupuncture that closed me out from the appointment. And she said, I'm sorry, when she was charging my card. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what, excuse me? Like, she's like, well, yeah, I mean, if I could do it for free, I would. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I want to pay you. I want you to be here. If you did it for free, how long would you be here? She's like, probably not long. I was like, exactly. So I want to pay you. And that's where it comes to when should we be sponsored and when should we pay? Like, so even if you can afford to pay, then you're contributing to others. And that's why, like, when I work with a high level executive that's in a multi-million dollar firm, I'm charging $300,000. Now that allows me to sponsor some young up and comers and or not young. And they, because I also help people that have lived in a 20-year career and they're trying to come out and they don't know how to do it. And they might be a good candidate for sponsorship. So my mission is to help as many people as I can. And thereby, it's not always the people that can afford me. But because I charge, I can afford to help others. And then there's one other thing that comes to mind, and then I want to pass over to Stephanie, is that some people think, and I've seen this so often, oh, that good deed that you want to give, Steve, you have to go work somewhere else for it. So you like, so there are people that want to do awesome things in the planet, on this planet, and then they're working some day job that they hate to make money so they can do what they love for free. And that's sad to me, because as I've watched those people, as time goes on, they get more and more tired and that dream becomes more and more dim and even gets hung up in the coat closet in their hallway. And then it starts to fade away. It's rare that someone can actually do both. And so part of our mission here with More Business and More Life is that you actually do what you're meant to do. And I'll call it your soul purpose. People call it your core purpose, but your soul, S-O-U-L and S-O-L-E at the same time, your soul thing that you're meant to do and your soul, like your heart's desire, needs to be something that you're compensated for. Because then if you're doing what you loved and you're earning what you need to have your sustenance, to eat, to have a house, to have shelter, then you now are going to, guess what, do more goodness. Sorry, lots of good things from all of this. Stephanie, like, what's your take? Like, when do you see it giving work and not work and the earning part of this?
I think when you lower the cost or when you sponsor people and they have a need and you have a solution for that need, they're excited and it makes it easy for them to say yes. But like we've been talking about, it is very important to set expectations on the front end of what you expect for them to do in terms of showing up for the program, showing up for themselves to receive this gift, to Melissa's point, because it is a gift. And I think making it easy for them to say yes on the front end is great. They get in, we can start helping them. We've already identified that we can help them. And so they have a need, we can fill it potentially, but it is collaborative. We are working together. When you lower your cost or you sponsor people, it does make it easier for them to say yes in that moment. And so if you're already making an offer that you can help somebody, you've identified that you have a solution to whatever their challenge is or whatever the thing is that they're reaching for. And so I think it makes sense, but it's like, then what happens after that? I think the charging appropriately is what gets them to show up every day and continue to take action. Like what we're doing, obviously training, coaching, consulting, and a lot of our clients are in that same boat. Like they're also coaches and consultants, and which means that you're trying to help people make a change, a big change sometimes. And so that means changing habits, changing a lot of things. And so they do need to have some skin in the game to continue to show up past the day they said yes and signed on for this amazing price, right? So I think that's what we see, is that there needs to be a drive to get that return on investment. And it, initially, when we're making these changes and we're making new habits, I guess I'm thinking that, like, at least for me, it was my own experience. There's like this external driving force that's like, oh my gosh, I need to make my money back, or I need to show up because I invested all of this in myself, which is huge. First of all, to just invest in yourself, but then to continue to invest every day so that you can actually have what you wanted. There's like a direct, I don't know if that's making sense.
But. Well, no, it does. Because I mean, I think all of us here have spent tens of thousands of dollars. And I know I've spent hundreds of thousands, which sounds crazy to say. And I didn't start with that. Well, I kind of did. My first big mentor was $100,000. But now it's literally like hundreds. And I actually stopped tallying it. I mean, maybe now in my time, we might be like $1 million between my wife and I and our family, and even investing in our children, that we have spent on ourselves. And it sounds crazy to say, but what a difference. And it wasn't at one moment, right? It keeps accumulating because you start seeing the difference in your life when you invest. And And even as an example to that, Stephanie, even when I was writing my first book, for 3 years, I knew I wanted to write a book and I wanted to do it. And then I remember in 2015, I said, I'm writing this book and it has to happen. This is my goal for the year. Halfway through the year, so summer of 2015, I'm like, oh crap, I haven't done much more. So then I decided to hire a book coach, and I had already hired successfully mentors, so I knew that it worked. And I interviewed three different coaches, and one of my friends, when I met him, he wasn't even an author, and now he's like a four-time best-selling author. And I called him to see if he knew a mentor, and he's like, I'm mentoring. And so out of the three people I interviewed, I took my friend, I picked it, and it was a five-figure sum. I invested a lot of money with him. And writing that check, I knew I was going to get the book done. And there are things that he shared with me that I already knew, but he also shared things that I did not know. And I noticed through working with him, I identified my biggest fear, because I had changed my life so much, Stephanie, that I didn't want my book to be the thing that took me away from my family, because I had systemized the rest of my business and I had ample time with my family. And I was afraid that if I wrote a book, I would take up all that extra time. So we made a system that every week I had a thing to do. And then he also encouraged me to do a pre-release on Amazon. And so we actually had a deadline of when I was releasing my book. And if you don't release on that day, then Amazon never lets you do pre-release again. There's a demand. So I was starting to freak out halfway through. And I remember calling him. I'm like, hey, I'm not doing enough. Like the old workaholic Steve was popping up. And then he said, did you do what I told you to do this week? And I said, yes. And he said, go then hang up and go play with your family. And I was like, are you sure? And he's like, listen, if you did what I told you, go like hang up and go be with your family. And I was like, okay, well, if we don't finish on time, it's on you. Bye. And I hung up. And then I did finish on time. And not only did that money, I wanted the money back, like what you're saying, Stephanie, I wanted my money back. But I also learned things. And when I launched my book, I went number one in four countries in 14 categories. So a lot of people like go, oh, you had an Amazon bestseller, ooh, whoop-de-doo. And then when I tell them that, they're like, oh, wow, that's serious. Like not everyone gets four countries in 14 categories in one day. And that I give to my coach. I wouldn't have done that. He knew how to do that, how to launch properly. So you do learn things you wouldn't have learned. Maybe some of the things I already knew, but I wouldn't have done if I didn't invest. If that makes sense. That I think that reinforces what you're saying. So I think we need to invest. And I guess in summary of all of this, and if anybody else wants to add anything before we close out this show today, but you either invest money or time. And I think that's kind of what we're saying. Like you invest the money and you're committed, or you're going to invest the time. And I've done that. Like Giovanni said, I volunteered. Like when I wanted to learn about real estate, I didn't have money to go hire a real estate coach. So I said, how can I help you? And I literally swept floors. They're like, we have a property to turn around. We have a new tenant coming in. You can come over. And I'm like, okay, what do you need me to do? Oh, clean those counters, sweep this. And then I was able to ask a lot of questions. So I worked for that mentorship.
There's other ways to pay your way. There's other things that you can do to earn that gift. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You just have to want it bad enough and be willing to show up for yourself.
And sweep floors if you need
to. And sweep floors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Simple.
And when I've done that in my career too, like even now I'll still do that. I'll show up and volunteer and people look at you that you're successful and all this. They're like, what are you doing? Like, why are you cleaning up or doing? I'm like, because I want to hang out with you. And if I help you, then we can hang out more. Right. And then it helps you. Right. And they're like, yeah. And they're shocked because not everyone shows up that way.
I think the only thing I wanted to add is because I don't want people to get the impression that we're talking about compensation versus sponsorship, because we're not talking about giving away everything you do. We're talking about sponsorship, which generally is done for some limited time period, for some limited number of people. It's not like open-ended and you give stuff away forever. And maybe you do figure out what you want to give away and how you incorporate that into your complete client journey. But I just want to make sure that people don't go, oh, I should be giving something away when we're talking about sponsorship today.
Yeah, and you're right, Melissa. It's like sustainability, right? So what amount? So do you have to have 10 full-paying clients to give one sponsorship away? But that's a good thing to go look. Go look at your math. Go look at your accounting, to Melissa's point, and then decide. Because there's a lot of companies that want to give, and then they're not sure how to do it. And so hopefully this just gave you some ideas. But maybe you have to have 100 clients. I mean, what's the shoe company? Like Ted's or something? I can't remember. It was a long time ago. But for every shoe sold, they gave...
Tom's.
Yeah. I knew it was with a T. I was like, it's a T. So Tom's. And they knew that if they sold one at full price, they could give one away in another country, right? So you got to do the math, to Melissa's point. You don't go give everything away and be like, oops, we're not sustainable. Like, okay, we're bleeding money. No, like then it's not sustainable. Absolutely. Good point, Melissa. What a way to recap so people aren't delusional about this. And I've been delusional too. I've given more away and then it hurt. It stings. And then it's sad when you have to quit. You're like, I really wanted to help people. And then you're like, oh, but you have no money, no food. You're going to be homeless. Like all of a sudden you're helping homeless people and then you don't have a house anymore. Like, oh, oops, I'm homeless with you now. We're all together. Kumbaya. No, the whole idea is that you can all have a home, including you. And so we need to be sustainable. I mean, that's a big word in today's modern times, sustainable, sustainable. Sustainable means that we can sustain, we can continue on. So make sure you do the math. This is something we teach in More Business, More Life. Is your business sustainable? I can't tell you how many small businesses I've met and they're giving their product or service away. They don't know that they are, but they incorrectly price themselves. And they're giving their product away and they're wondering why they're losing money. And then a lot of times they used to bring me in for marketing and then come to find out they don't have any. If I did my job as a marketer, I would put them out of business faster because they were losing money on every transaction. So to Melissa's point, when you're talking about this, you need to first make sure that your organization, nonprofit or for-profit, is sustainable. And then what amount of sponsorship is appropriate? Can you sponsor one person a month, one person a year? Do the math. And then all we're saying today is that you need to make sure that the people are serious. Because if you can only sponsor one person a year, how sad will that be if you sponsor them and they don't do anything? Now you're going to be upset, right? And this is what hurts our heart. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. Like, we work so hard to make something. And then when people don't do it, it affects me. So now there's rules, right? You got to do these things. And to Stephanie's point, and Melissa and Giovanni, we all talk about expectations. We set the expectations. And then if you don't meet those expectations, then you lose your sponsorship. It's the same thing with scholarships in college. If you don't get good grades, your scholarship's gone. Gone. Like, now you're going to have to pay your tuition. And you're like, oh, crap, I missed out on college because I screwed up. So we're out of time, but I hope this helped. We might do a part two on this someday soon, but this, we want to help people. And sometimes people can't afford to do it, but they want it. Like Giovanni pointed out, and he worked, he came, he was a photographer. He's like, I'll shoot pictures. I'll do anything. You need me to like sweep up? He's probably said that. I'm pretty sure. He's like, I'll do whatever you need. I want to hang out with you. And I'm like, all right, show me. And he did. And then he made enough money to pay. And he got more classes. So this does work. I hope this gave you value today. And as we always say, remember, choose gratitude and create freedom. We'll see you on the next podcast. Thanks for listening to the More Business, More Life podcast. I hope you got value. And if you did, we have so many more things for you at stevenopleton.com. You'll be able to connect with us on social media. We are active. You can ask us questions. And then on top of that, I want to give you a really big gift. And it truly is. We want to give so much value. We have an offering. It's a program called Clear Path to Customers. It's the same way that we attract wow clients and only working with the right people, the people we want to. And it's transformed my business into millions more in revenue with the right people and my clients. And we're doing it absolutely free. So you can go to stevenopleton.com and grab that. You just got to put in your information. We'll send it to you promptly. And that again is on stevenopleton.com. I look forward to having you on the next show. Until then, remember, choose gratitude and create freedom.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.